Well, you are listening to Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm being honored up until 11 o'clock today, and I'm being joined live in the studio by Australian composer and conductor Sean O'Boyle, whose music we listen to right now. Just listening to The Celtic Dance, a composition by Australian composer Sean O'Boyle, as performed by the Orchestra Victoria, conducted by the composer. The violinist was Rob John. Well, today, up until 11 o'clock, I am being joined by Sean O'Boyle, who is currently based in New York. Australian composer and conductor Sean O'Boyle has conducted recordings and concerts with many leading Australian and international orchestras, including the Adelaide, West Australian, Melbourne and Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra, the Queensland Orchestra, the Lexington Philharmonic, Auckland Philharmonia. The list just goes on and on and on. His compositions have been performed by all the major Australian orchestras and by international orchestras, including the Berlin Philharmonic, Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and so many more. A jazz clarinet playing orchestra conductor, Sean O'Boyle, happens to also be the most prolific musician in Australia. In 2002, he was featured exclusively at the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting, where his compositions were performed live for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. In 2000, Sean composed the ABC's Olympic theme for use during the Sydney 2000 Olympic Games, and also performed for the 2002 Commonwealth Games in Manchester and the 2004 Olympics in Athens. He has written and produced music for more than 100 CDs. And I have to say, Sean, I am so excited you're here.
Thanks for having me, Melvin.
It's really incredible to have you here. And, you know, we'll be playing a piece of yours that kind of brought our, I guess you could say, friendship and working together, a piece called Winter's Breath. And remember when I emailed you about that piece?
I do remember, yeah.
And you sent me that and so many other recordings. Well, anyway, it's an honor to have you here, the most prolific Australian musician. Well, Sean, first of all, I have to, I guess, say doubly thank you for here, because it was tough to get you here. You had a tough few months. What's been going on?
Yeah, it was tough. We moved to the U.S., my wife Suzanne and I, a couple of years ago. And while I was in the process of the fabulous green card, I could live and work here, I went up to Canada to help out some friends with a benefit concert and got to the border and was basically detained for 4.5 months, not allowed back in the U.S. because I had not filled out the correct paperwork. So it was a bit tough to get back, but we eventually did, which was we're very grateful for, and now I have a green card. So
yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great. Now, you're based in New York, but you were in Australia recently doing what? You were doing some projects and what have you?
Yeah, we spent, Suzanne and I went to Australia for 7 weeks, 5 weeks of which was the Queensland Ballet. Australia only has 3 professional ballet companies. Australia is the same landmass as pretty much as the United States, but with only 22 million people and a lot of desert, so everyone lives on the edge. And the major cities have orchestras, but there are only 3 ballet companies that are professional, and Queensland Ballet is one of them. And I've had quite a long association, and a show that I orchestrated and helped bring to life for the 2004 Brisbane Festival. It's called Cloudland, and it's about a nightclub in Brisbane that was built in 1939, and the Americans had it during the Second World War, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And it became a big dance hall, and it was unceremoniously torn down in 1982. Mm-hmm. So we that's a good ballet subject. The great thing about it was that it's rather than having an orchestra in the pit, we had a dance band from the 40s on stage, and I dusted off the clarinet and I played some great old tunes like Sing 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 and Golden Wedding and Begin the Begin.
Well, we're going to hear, you brought actually a piece of yours where you play clarinet.
Yes, I did.
A man of so many trades. Unbelievable. Well, Sean, before we listen to more of your music, we'll be listening to some excerpts from a ballet you wrote. Before we get to that, share with us a bit about how you got interested in music when you were young.
When I was 8 years old, I thought I should play the piano. So I had a month worth of lessons, and I didn't like the teacher, so I sacked the teacher when I was 8.
You sacked the teacher? I like that expression.
And then I wrote some little pieces for piano. I had really bad technique because I didn't have a teacher anymore. And then later on, when I got to high school, I thought I should play something else. So I asked what was the easiest instrument on earth to play, and someone said, play the clarinet. So I said, that's for me, I'll play that. So I started playing the clarinet and then the saxophone and flutes and oboe and other things.
So you've been a wind person.
Yeah, a wind person. But where I went to school every day, I would jog around the block because we were quite sporty, and I'd pass this flagstone that said, you know, in this house, Percy Grainger was born. And I thought, who's this Percy Grainger guy? It sounds like, you know, I didn't know who he was. And then years later, I played a lot of his music. I was in the Melbourne Wind Quintet. I love playing his music, and it's and a lot of wind band stuff and orchestral stuff. And and he could capture in 3 minutes, like what people spend 60 minutes in a symphony to capture. He just had this amazing breath.
And to me, that is such an interesting point, which I always bring out, is that you don't have to write a masterpiece that's an hour long. It could be a masterpiece and be a minute or two long, or even less.
That's true.
I mean, if basically get to your point, do what you want to do, and present it, and that's it. And it'll be memorable. You want to want more people, I think, sometimes you want people to want more.
That's true.
You know, and that's great, Sean. Well, who were some of your other musical idols? You talk about Percy Grainger. Who were some of the others?
Well, growing up in our household, it was all the Bees, Bach, Beethoven, big bands, and the Beatles. So they were my, and then Burke Bacharach. So they were my early influences. And I, as a kid, I thought that the art of writing orchestral music had died out, that we had forgotten how to do it, because I didn't see any, you know, any Beethovens of our era, until one day it dawned on me at the movies, listening to, you know, probably a great John Williams score, that, hang on, these guys are still alive, and now they're writing for movies. So that was
a big inspiration.
It was a big inspiration for me.
Right. Now, where did you study? You studied in Australia?
I'm an autodidact, which means I'm self-taught.
Congratulations.
So I didn't go to college. I left school at 15, and I just found people who could teach me. I would find a conductor who I really admired and say, how do you do this? And badger them until they...
Wow. You know what's interesting? Now, what's very interesting in reading your website, and I'm glad actually it made it more exciting, me not even knowing this, because in reading your website, I didn't see much about training and things like that, comparatively, is how you read about other composers. So you left school at 15.
Yeah, I left school at 15, and I went to quite a exclusive private boys' school in Melbourne, in Australia, and it's in Brighton, where Percy Grainger was born. And the headmaster at the time, Robert L. Rofe, very English-type gentleman, he was completely furious with me that I would consider leaving, because he had the whole path mapped out for me, that I would, you know, finish school and then they'd send me to Melbourne University and I'd read music and become a composer and
the usual course
the
of
usual
events
course
kind
of, events.
Of thing.
Yeah.
Wow, this is...
And
wow.
I like playing rock and roll and jazz and, you know, classical. I like playing everything. So.
Right. Well, you know, that's and I think there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think it matters what genre you do. Music can be good in any genre. You know, as well as it's well constructed and says something, you know. And, well, you know, how about now, more specifically, composition, writing orchestral works? When did this say, gee, I want to really do more with this, that this was going to be a life's work?
Yeah, I looked at a lot of things growing up, and because I liked bands and jazz bands, I liked writing a little arrangement. So I started kind of writing little arrangements, and I was in a wind quintet that we played classical, and I couldn't find some music. I think one of the first things I wrote out was the Marriage of Figaro overture in the key of D, I think, which meant it was in E for me on the clarinet, which I should have made it in E flat, and then it would have been F, and it would have been a little easier to play. But, you know, those sort of experiences, you know, help you along. And I started orchestrating for brass bands, wind bands, and orchestras. And it just developed, and I was asked to do some work on some albums with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. They liked what they heard, and it developed.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the ABC listings and you see your work as a conductor, and it doesn't stop. The lists of things that you're involved with is just absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's. I look back and I think, oh, how did someone do all that? But I don't know, we just did.
And he's so modest, too.
And there's more to come, you know.
Well, keep it going, keep it going. Hey, let's go to some more of your music. Let's listen to selections from your ballet, Aladdin. Tell us a little bit about the ballet and how it came about and what we'll hear.
How Aladdin came about was the Queensland Ballet artistic director, Francois Klaus, asked me for some advice for some Chinese music because they were mounting 1001 Nights. And he's the sort of guy that likes to choose music from everywhere for his choreography. The story of Aladdin is Chinese, and it's not the Disney story. So he wanted to make it in the real sense. And I said, oh, look, I really can't help you because I don't really know, but, you know, how much music do you need? And he said, oh, about 15 minutes. And I said, look, I'll write you something. So
it turned out
I ended up writing 55 minutes worth of music for the production of 1001 Nights, of which about 30 minutes was used from the ballet. Yeah. And then they made a standalone ballet from Aladdin, and I think we did 30 performances.
Wow. Well, we're going to hear the opening sections of this. Music from Aladdin, the ballet Aladdin, by my guest Sean O'Boyle, who conducts.
And there's one more interesting thing.
Go ahead, sure, I'm sorry.
I know you've played my didgeridoo concerto.
Yes, mention that. We were talking about that.
Francois, the artistic director of the Queensland Ballet, he had actually choreographed the didgeridoo concerto, and he liked so much of it without the didgeridoo, he had an idea. So the opening of the ballet is some of the didgeridoo concerto without the didgeridoo, because it's a story. It was the story of 1001 Nights, of Scheherazade, and he set it in a refugee camp in a war torn zone. So he wanted the menacing tones that came through the didgeridoo concerto,
which we will hear later.
In its entirety,
and we'll talk about the didgeridoo. Sean, it's so great to have you here. We're going to listen now to the opening sections from the ballet Aladdin by my guest, Sean O'Boyle, who conducts the Queensland Orchestra.